Open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. Now, here in 1 Kings chapter 2, David is coming to the end of his reign, and he's getting ready to turn things over to his son Solomon. And David is speaking to Solomon here, his son, and he says in verse 5, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 5, he says, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, that what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war and peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet." So he's talking about Joab, and he's talking about the things that Joab did. But now I want you to notice a strange command that David gives Solomon, his son, here in verse 6. He says this, "Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head," that means his white, his aged head, "go down to the grave in peace." In other words, he's saying that because of the things that he's done, I don't want you to take peace away from him. I don't want him to have peace anymore until the day he dies. And so David here pronounces judgment on this man named Joab. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning again, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, and honor to be in your house this morning, Lord, that we may preach your word and we may learn by it, Lord. And I pray this morning that, Lord, you just give me clear speech, Lord, and just have me preach this the way you want me to preach it, Lord, for your glory, for the glory of Jesus Christ and the glory of your word. And Father, I just pray that you'll speak to us this morning, Lord, through your word, and help us, Lord, as Christians to examine ourselves and see if there be any wicked way within us, Lord, that we may take care of this morning. Lord, help us to learn and grow by your word as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this Joab here was really, he was a remarkable man. When you read in the Old Testament, you read about him spoken about a lot, especially in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Joab was a remarkable man. Outwardly, he seemed to be loyal to David. Outwardly, he served David. But when it came to the very end, David ended up judging Joab. He told Solomon that Joab was not to have peace. In other words, peace was to be removed from him. Now, really, Joab was a man amongst men. If you ever wanted to have a man on your side in case something was to go down and you needed protection, certainly Joab would be a good choice to have. That's the kind of man he was. And that's why Joab got to be David's commander-in-chief or David's right-hand man during the time of David's reign. If you remember, right after David was crowned king, there was a Jebusite stronghold that had been there since the time of Joshua. And nobody was able to take that Jebusite stronghold. This Jebusite stronghold was so strong that they even laughed and mocked at armies when they would come up against this stronghold. And they would say things like, "Listen, even the blind people and even the lame people can defend our city through this stronghold." In other words, it's such a stronghold that anybody can defend it. Nobody can overtake this stronghold. And so basically they were bragging about it and running their mouth about it. And so David, when he became king, he said, he basically, "Whoever takes this stronghold will be my right-hand man, will be my commander-in-chief." And that's when Joab stood up and said, "I'll take it." And he did. And he ended up delivering the city to David, and he became David's right-hand man. And yet, if you think about it, I mean, if you look at it, that sounds like it's a great story. It sounds like things are going good. You know, like Joab's really a good man here. But really, it's a tragic story because even though Joab fought alongside of David, and he worked for David, and he respected David, and I think he looked up to David, yet he spent his entire life with David only to receive at the end of his life judgment of peace being removed. And the only thing I can think of more sad than that is for a modern day Christian to be in church, work in the church, like being a Christian, like living the life of a Christian, only to be judged of God and have his peace removed. And it happens all the time. You say, why? Because Christians don't always have the right motive for what they do. And Christians don't always have the heart of God and always don't have the mind of Christ. In other words, many times Christians will do things, but they don't do it for the Lord, they do it for other people. They don't serve the Lord just to serve and please Him. They do it, they may be seen of men, or they have some other motive. And may I tell you that the Lord does not reward that. And so many Christians today don't have the peace that other Christians have. You know, the happiest Christians I've ever seen are the ones who are serving the Lord just for the sake of serving the Lord because they love Him. Those are the happiest Christians I see. But you know, you go to a lot of churches today, all across America, many Baptist churches, you see these churches and you see just a lot of people, they're serving the Lord, but they're never happy. They're serving the Lord and it's almost like it's such a task to them. It's so hard for them. They don't get any pleasure out of it. And you have to ask yourself, then why are they serving the Lord? Because if you're serving the Lord with just a pure motive of saying, I want to please the Lord with what I do, then you can serve the Lord and be happy. And you won't burn out as quick. You won't, because you'll understand that you're doing it just to please your master. Many Christians today aren't doing that. And you'll notice here that Joab was serving David. He was at David's side. He was very loyal, but yet he got judged. And we're going to see why he did this morning. Now, I want you to notice before we go any further that you have some types in this picture, in this story. Certainly we know that David is a type of Christ. He's one of the great types of Christ that you'll find in the Old Testament. He's a type of Christ because both David and Jesus Christ are from the tribe of Judah. Both are God's anointed kings. Both were first rejected and then both were enthroned. Both were prophet, priest, and king. And so David pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a type of Christ, but Joab pictures the Christian today who do not have the mind of Christ. The Christian who do not love the things that Christ loved or loves, and who do not hate the things that Christ hates, who really don't do what they do for the cause of Christ. They have their own motives, they have their own selfish motives for whatever they're doing, whether it be the praise of men or whether it be just getting an attaboy or whatever it is, that's who Job pictures. And so I want you to understand now, just as Christians today are loyal, even though they may not have the heart of God, Joab was loyal as well. And I want you to look at his loyalty. In 1 Kings chapter 2, notice what it says in verse 5. It says in verse 5, it says, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me." Now, who is this Zeruiah? Well, if you look back at 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 16, you'll find that Zeruiah was David's sister. And that would mean that Joab was David's nephew. So from the time that Joab was a little boy, he had been around the family of David. No doubt he knew the importance of David. No doubt that's one of the reasons he was loyal to David. He's like many people today, many Christians today who are raised in the church. And from a very young age, they heard and understood things about Jesus. They were taught songs like "Jesus Loves Me," "This I Know," "For the Bible Tells Me So." They were raised in church. They saw the flannel graphs. They remember the stories about Jesus. They remember about Jesus, the stories of Jesus being raised from the dead after being in a tomb for 3 days. They had been told about how Jesus died for our sins. They've been raised in church. They've been all the way through the Bible. They've been taught the things of God. That's the way Joab was. No doubt Joab, he understood David very well. I mean, he was in the family. He could hardly remember a time when he was not around David's family. He could hardly remember a time when he had not been told about David. No doubt Joab could remember the story about how David went out and fought Goliath that day and got the victory. No doubt Joab had heard the stories about how the women of Israel singing, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. He would have known how David single-handedly united the tribes of Israel to go out to battle and fight with the power of God. Joab was aware of all this. And when it came to fighting for David, Joab wouldn't even hesitate. He was right there. If you asked him, if you asked people who was David's most courageous soldier, certainly Joab would have been one of the people that people mentioned. Because on the outside, he was always seemed to be there. But wait a minute. In spite of his loyalty, there was still something missing. Somehow he never really gave his heart to David. somehow he never really had the mind of David. He wasn't thinking like David. He didn't love the things that David loved. He didn't care about David's will. In fact, he usually put his will above David's will. He didn't care that David was on the throne. And so that's the way Joab was. And so he got judged and the peace was removed from him. And there are many people today that are in churches all across America. Many have been raised in church and they've heard so much of what the Word of God has to say, and they have a fundamental loyalty to the church, and they'll take a stand for doctrine. But when it comes down to the relationship with the Lord, many Christians today just don't have the mind of Christ. They just don't have the heart of God in their thinking. They just don't do what the Lord wants them to do for the fact that they love the Lord. You see, it's become mechanical. How many of you understand that there are some people that go to church today because that's just what we do on Sunday? We get up and go to church. We don't know anything else to do but go to church. Well, listen, if you come to church in the morning just because that's what you do on Sunday, you came here for the wrong reason. There are some people that come to church because they're made to come to church. It shouldn't be that way. You should come to church because you want to glorify God. You want to please Him. You want to learn more about Him. You want to worship Him. That's the reason we come to church. There are some people today when they serve in churches, they're not serving because they love the Lord. They're not serving because it's the will of God for them to serve them. They're not serving because they want to see somebody saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're not doing what they do for the glory of God. They're doing it because for other motives, for other reasons. And that's no reason to serve in this church. There's no reason to serve in any church. Everything you do to the glory of God. Everything. You do it because you love Him. You do it because you want to please Him. You do it because you have the mind of Christ and you love the things He loves and you hate the things that He hates. And you know that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You should have that same mind, and you should not be willing for others to perish, but people come to repentance. You should have the mind of Christ. Everything you should do because you know that Christ wants it done that way. But Joab here, he wasn't like that. You see, Joab had a problem. What was it that caused this man Joab to receive the judgment of David? Why would David come to the end of his life and tell his son Solomon, "As for Joab, don't let his white hair go down to the ground in peace. Take the peace from him." Well, when you search the record, you're going to find out that Joab was a man who loved the kingdom, but he didn't really love the Lord of that kingdom. You see, he didn't really love the king. You see, he loved the type of life he was living. He loved being there in that kingdom. But he didn't love the king like he should have. And you can see this in the way that Joab dealt with three rebellions that came up against David. You can see that Joab really never really had the heartbeat of King David. He never had David's will in mind. He never put David's will first. He just didn't have a heart for God. Turn, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 3 and look at verse 20. And we're going to see what Joab did to a man named Abner. 2 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to look at this first rebellion. And I want you to notice here how David had one view, the king had one view of this man named Abner, but Joab had a totally different view. Now remember, Joab is supposed to be serving King David because he loves King David. He's supposed to be doing what King David wants, not what Joab wants. Now in 2 Samuel chapter 3, look at verse 20. It says, "So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him, and David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace." Now notice this. Abner's there. David makes a feast for him. Abner says, "I'm going to make sure that I get all these people. We're going to get together. We're going to come, and you're going to be king over them. And you can reign over all that your heart desires, David." And then David sends him away in peace. Now, this is the same Abner who had once rebelled against David. This is the same Abner who had wanted to set up a wrong king by the name of Ishbosheth and make him the king rather than David. But later on, Abner saw the wrong of his ways. And after a while, Abner saw the beauty of King David, the righteousness of King David. And he saw that truly King David was God's anointed man, and Abner repented of his ways. And so he came to David and he asked David for forgiveness. David forgave Abner, made a feast for him, and sent him off in peace. Now get this. The king had forgiven Abner. All right? And so skip down to verse 26. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, and he died for the blood of Ishael his brother. Now, here's a strange thing. David had forgiven Abner. Abner had done something that was worthy of death. I mean, he tried to take authority from the king. And he tried to get another king put up instead of David. But he repented. He got right with David. He made things right with David. David forgave him, made a feast for him, and sent him away in peace. Now, you would think that a person who had the heart of David in mind, a person who loved David, a person who wanted to do what, who loved what David loved and hated what David hated, and a person who wanted to do the will of the king, you would think he would say, well, wait a second, this Abner, he did something really bad, but David here, the king, forgave him. I mean, Abner tried to get another king in place over David, God's anointed man, and he should have been put to death for that, but he didn't. And so David forgave him, made a feast for him, and sent him away in peace. Now, Joab comes up, and you would think that he would have the same forgiveness for Abner that King David did. But he didn't. You see, he had been wronged by Abner as well. And so what he did, he takes him over here, pulls him aside, even though King David had forgiven this man and had made, was back in fellowship with this man and sent him away in peace, Abner takes him and privately stabs him. You could call it stabbing him in the back. May I tell you, some Christians today know people who are lost, and they've seen people who have done horrible things, and they know the history of those lost folks. And when those lost folks actually get saved, those Christians resent that, and they can't handle that. You know, I've often thought, after the Apostle Paul was converted and he became a Christian, I've often thought how it must have been when he shows up to church one Sunday morning, and there's a family sitting right there in the front, and Paul's getting ready to preach. And there's a family sitting up front, maybe a young boy, maybe a young lady, and their parents have been put to death by Paul. Or their parents had been put in jail by Paul. I often wondered how they thought. Let me ask you this. If all of a sudden a person that you knew while you were lost and you saw some of the things that they did, some of the horrible things that they did, how would you feel if they get saved? If I were to give a name to you today, how many of you remember who Jeffrey Dahmer is? It's pretty hard not to know who Jeffrey Dahmer is. But how many remember Jeffrey Dahmer and the things that he did? Do you know that Jeffrey Dahmer, before he was put to death, he actually had a confession of faith? Now, we don't know if that was true or not. There are a lot of people in jail that give a profession of faith. We don't know if they actually got converted or not. But can you imagine if he did get saved? Don't you know that there are people today that would say, well, if he's in heaven, I don't want to be there. That's a horrible way of thinking. Why? Jesus Christ forgave that person. You should forgive that person as well. I don't care what they did. But a lot of Christians don't see it that way. What we like to do is we like to pick and choose who we want in heaven with us. And if somebody doesn't fit the exact mold of who we pick and choose, we don't want those people in heaven. But that's not the way it is. Listen, if God could save me, he could save you. And if he could save me, he could save anybody. And may I tell you today that Bible says if you're guilty of one part of the law, you're guilty of it all. You know what that means? That means in the eyes of God, Jeffrey Dahmer did nothing any different than anybody else in this room did. We're all guilty of sin in the eyes of God. And if you've not been forgiven those sins, then you're condemned already. If you've been forgiven, then all those sins have been washed away. All those sins, past, present, future, have been done away with as far as the east is from the west. And so therefore, if Jesus Christ can forgive somebody, Shouldn't we be able to forgive them? If we really have the heart of God, if we really have the mind of Christ, if Jesus Christ can forgive somebody, we should be able to forgive somebody. But the problem is there are so many Christians today that say, yes, but Pastor, you just don't know what that man did to me. I can't forgive him. I'm not saying that you're to trust them. If somebody stole from you, listen, don't leave your wallet out in front of them. Take your wallet and put it in the safe when they come over. Amen. Not saying you have to trust them, but you are supposed to forgive them. You are supposed to forgive them. Why? For Christ Jesus has forgiven you. If you have the heart of God, if you have the mind of Christ, you'll forgive a person. Joab here, he knew that David had forgiven Abner. He knew that David, he knew the things that David did. He knew that Abner won another person on the throne. He knew that, but David, he knew that David made him a feast and David sent him away in peace. He was forgiven. But Joab couldn't forgive. Joab did not have the will of God, the will of David in mind. He did not have the heart of David. Let me ask you something. Do you have the mind of Christ this morning? Do you think like Jesus thinks? Do you love like Jesus loves? Do you deal with those who Jesus dealt with? Do you deal with them in grace the same way Jesus deals with you? One of the saddest things in the world is when I see other Christians knife each other in the back in the guise of Christianity. And I'll tell you something, folks. The Lord is not pleased when other Christians attack other Christians. Joab never really had the mind of Christ or the mind of David. Now, turn if you order to 2 Samuel chapter 18, and I want to show you another example, rebellion number 2. Now, in the first rebellion, Abner here was a person that David had forgiven, but yet Joab couldn't do it. He couldn't do what David did. He couldn't forgive him. Certainly, he did not have the heart of David in mind. But here in 2 Samuel chapter 18, I want to give you another example because I'm going to show you what Joab did to Absalom, the son of David. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, look if you would, starting at verse 5. It says, "And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom." Why? Because it's his son. "And all the people heard when David gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom." Now, did it say everybody heard it, right? Everybody heard when David says, deal gently for my sake with this young man, even Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, there where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was a great slaughter that day, even that day of 20,000 men. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Talking about people getting tangled up in the underbrush and people getting beat to death trying to get out of the brush. And so he said the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Now look at verse 9. "Now remember, the captains and everybody heard what David said. Be gentle to that young man. He's my son. Be gentle with him for my sake." In verse 9, "And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and earth, and the mule was under him went away." We know the story. Absalom with long hair got his hair tangled up in the tree, and he's hanging there from the tree. "And a certain man saw it, and told Joab, and said, behold, I saw Absalom hang in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touches young man Absalom." Now what he's saying is this. Joab comes up here and says, "Oh, you saw Absalom, did you? You saw him hanging a tree?" "Well, yeah, I saw him hanging a tree." "Well, why didn't you kill him? I'd have paid you if you kill him." And the man says, "Listen, you can pay me all you want to, but the king said, don't lay a hand on him. The king says, be gentle to him for my sake. He's my son. The king said it, and I don't want to disobey the king." That man was right. Because the king said, don't touch this man. Be gentle with this man. Yes, he messed up, but be gentle with him. Don't kill him. But Joab here, he says, well, why didn't you kill him? And the guy says, well, the king said not to. Now, look at verse 13. He says, otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself would have had set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Now listen, not only did David say to all the captains, be gentle with this young man, don't kill this young man, he's my son. This man also told him what, and reminded him what King David said. But yet Joab took those darts and killed Absalom with them anyway, regardless of what the king said. Now, folks, let me ask you something. Do you think a man who says, now the king says do this, but I don't care what the king says, I'm going to do it this way. This man deserves what this man deserves to die for what he did, and regardless of what the king says, I'm going to do it this way. Do you think he had the heart of David in mind when he did that? No, he didn't. You know whose will he was interested in doing? His own. He wasn't interested in doing David's will. David's will was for them not to be gentle with Absalom. But Absalom didn't care about David's will. But Joab didn't care about David's will. He cared about Joab's will. He was a man who was not after David's own heart. He was not a man who did not have the mind of David. And may I tell you this morning, there are a lot of believers today who don't treat other believers right. There are believers today who are discontent with other believers. And the reason they are is because maybe that believer did something to them. Maybe a Christian, and listen, folks, there's no way that you can keep coming to church and have fellowship with Christians all the time without some Christians rubbing you wrong. Hey, listen, if you go out in the world and you talk to people, people are going to rub you wrong. How many of you have been rubbed wrong by somebody in life? Hey, listen, we all have. We've all been rubbed wrong by somebody in life. And it's going to happen amongst Christians too. Why? Because we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all don't always have the mind of Christ when we're talking one to each other. We're not all filled with the Spirit all the time. And so there are going to be some Christians who are going to say things to you that are going to make you mad sometimes. There are going to be times that your pastor is going to disappoint you sometimes. Listen, the only one who will never disappoint you is Jesus Christ. But people are going to disappoint you from time to time. They're going to make you angry from time to time. But rather than getting mad at them, rather than stabbing them in the back, or rather than throwing the darts at them, listen, the Lord says, be gentle with them. He's my son. Be gentle with them. You know, let me tell you why you should be nice to other Christians. Because they're sons of God the same way you are. They're God's son. Be gentle with them. You don't have to treat them bad. If they make you mad, give them grace. Doesn't God give you grace? Why? He's your son. You're his son. And the problem is today, as Christians, sometimes we think, well, I'm a son of God, and so therefore, that person over there, he may be saved, but I can treat him any way I want to. No, you can't. He's a son of God the same way you are. And the Lord says, be gentle with him. But so many Christians, they don't do that. May I tell you today, if you're ugly with other Christians, if you argue with other Christians, if you hold something against other Christians, if you refuse to forgive other Christians, you do not have the mind of Christ on the issue, and you do not have the heart of God on it, because God loves all of his children, and he wants us all to get along. How many of you like it when your children get along? It's one of the great blessings of life. I can't wait till I get to heaven because everybody's going to get along. But while we're here, it's not always going to happen that way. God wants all of his children to get along, and he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love Bob Crowder more than he loves you. He doesn't love that Christian over there more than he loves that Christian. You're all his children. And he says, deal gently with them. They're my son. But so many Christians today don't do that. So many don't do that. And I'm just going to tell you today, if you mistreat Christians, if you don't love people the way Jesus loves people, if you don't love Christians the way Jesus Christ loves Christians, then you are in the Joab crowd. And if you don't get right with the Lord, you're going to receive judgment, and that judgment is going to be, your peace is going to be removed. Now, if you continue to read, you'll find out that that David mourned and he cried bitterly because of what Joab had done. Certainly you can see that he was very sad that somebody had mistreated his son, killed his son. What was wrong with Joab? He didn't have the mind of Christ. He could not think as David thought. He did not love David as he should have loved him. Now, turn if you would over to one more passage, over to 1 Kings chapter 1. And you're going to find out that there was another one of David's sons that rebelled against him, and his name was Adonijah. Adonijah. And you're going to find out here that Joab was really wanting to put another person on the throne himself. The very thing that he had, you know, that he couldn't forgive Abner for, the very thing that Ishbosheth had done, and he killed Ishbosheth for, Abner here ended up wanting to put another king on the throne. In 1 Kings chapter 1, look at verse 5. It says, Adonijah the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. Now think about this. This man who was supposed to be David's right-hand man, this man who was supposed to have David's best interest in mind, this man who was supposed to love David and serve David just because he was king, who was supposed to love the things that David loved and hated the things that David hated, not only did he take a man that David had already forgiven and put that man to death because he couldn't forgive that man, not only did he go against the king's wishes and put his own will ahead of the king's will by killing his son, Absalom, but now the irony of the whole thing is now he's wanting to put another man on the throne. May I tell you that is a great example of many Christians today. You know how many Christians there are today that want to put somebody else on the throne rather than the Lord Jesus Christ in their life? You say, who do we want to put on the throne? Well, it's usually ourselves. Listen, anytime that you give somebody else or yourself a higher priority than you do the Lord Jesus Christ, you're putting yourself on the throne. If you give your children a higher priority than Jesus Christ, you're putting your children on the throne. If you give your spouse a higher priority than Jesus Christ, you're putting your spouse on the throne. Hey, listen, there's only one that deserves to be on the throne, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And listen, here Joab, you know what he said? He said, listen, there's another man here that wants on the throne, and so I'm going to follow Adonijah. I want him on the throne. He did the same thing that many Christians are doing today, and that is they put other people on the throne other than the one that belongs on the throne, God's anointed man, Jesus Christ. So many Christians put other people on the throne. That's what Joab did. Now listen, you cannot have the mind of Christ and you cannot have the heart of the Lord in mind if you want to put somebody else on the throne other than Him. You can't. You can't. There are Christians today who are serving in churches and man, it looks like they have all this zeal and they're serving, they're doing this and they're doing that, but the entire time they don't have the mind of Christ. They don't have the will of God in mind. They have other motives. That's what Joab. Listen, from the outside looking in, if you were just a normal person that was living in Israel, every time you'd see King David riding in on his horses and you see his mighty men coming in behind him and the whole entourage is coming in, you would see Joab and you say, boy, that Joab, what a worker. I mean, he's a soldier boy. I mean, he's out there always fighting with David. Man, I bet you that's just a great relationship between him and David. But deep down, Joab really did not do what he did for David. You see, Joab really liked being in the kingdom. And he liked being known as David's right-hand man. And he liked being known as a soldier. But he never had the will of David in mind at all. And I fear that there are a lot of Christians who are just like Joab in churches this morning. My question to you this morning is this. When you do what you do for the Lord, and that's when you read your Bible, when you come to church, if you serve in this church and you do anything in this church, why do you do it? You don't have to answer me. Answer yourself. Why do you do what you do for the Lord? Do you do it because you love Him? When other people, do something to make you mad, do you just walk away because you say, well, I just don't want to say something, or I don't want to do something that I'll be sorry for? Or do you walk away because that you know the Lord wants you to get along? When you come to church, do you come to church because somebody made you, or because that's something that you just always do? Or do you come to church just to spend a little while with the Lord and worship Him and praise Him and hear Him being preached about? Do you come to church because of the Lord, or because of you, or because of some other motive? Why do you do what you do? You know what? If you had asked Joab, why do you do what you do? I wonder if he'd have said, well, I want to serve the king. I love the king. I want to do exactly what the king wants me to do because I love him. Hogwash. That guy didn't care anything about David's will at all. But he sure did love people looking at him and saying, boy, what a fine spiritual man that is. A lot of Christians like that today. Are you like that today? Everything you do to the glory of God. Everything that you do for the Lord, you do it because you love Him, and you do it because that's His will for you to do it. That's the way it's supposed to be, folks. That's the way it's supposed to be. Let me ask you this morning, are you a Joab? I think there are a lot of Joabs in the churches today. You say, how do you know that? Because I see people that'll serve. You ever heard the phrase flash in the pan? That actually came from the people who would go out and they would search for gold, and they would take the water and they'd stick it down in the thing, they'd swirl it around, and all of a sudden there'd be like a little gold flash there, and that was gold. They call them flash in the pans because a person will get, he'd be serving the Lord, he'd be doing a lot of things, and then all of a sudden he just kind of fizzles out and he doesn't serve the Lord anymore. You know why that is? Because he's a Joab. Not serving the Lord for the right reason. He comes here to be seen of people. He comes because that's what he's always done, come to church. Serves because that's what we do. We come to church, we serve. But the thought of the will of God, the thought of the love of the Lord, it never crosses that person's mind. Is that you this morning? You know the answer. Let's stand.